What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, followed by The Dead, a conversation with Eve Evans. At the age of 4, Eve Evans woke up to the sight of a translucent figure instructing her to follow it. She would then be led down a hall to her parents' room, only to be told to go back to bed and dismissed. This would be the start of a lifelong journey into the world of the paranormal, a life that would involve being followed by spirits and haunting every aspect of her life. This is her story today on The Grave Talks.
Honestly, in my childhood, I grew up in a home that my parents had built, but I always felt like I was being watched. And I saw an apparition in my room of my dead grandpa when I was 4. So that was kind of the beginning of things, but I also didn't know I was an empath then. And I've come to realize that in the last couple years that that's actually what I am, is I'm just sensitive. So I had reoccurring nightmares and you name it. I actually died twice. So in my childhood at 4 and at 16,
wow,
I drowned. So I don't know if that's what made me more sensitive, but something happened when I was about 4 that it creeped me out.
Let's go back to that. Let's go starting in that area of you being 4. You said you'd seen an apparition. Did this occur after you had the drowning experience?
I believe so, yes. I don't really remember a lot about the drowning experience, just that I was riding a trike around my friend's pool, and they had the cover on it, but it was loose. Like, they were getting ready to take it off, but they hadn't taken it fully off. So when the wheel caught on the edge of the pool, I fell in, and I couldn't figure out how to get up because I was under the tarp. But after that, I believe it was after, and I would see, these are so weird to explain this, but you know, we're both in the paranormal, everything's weird. So one night I remember this, it was so hard to explain. So there's like these particles in the air, you know, at night, if you see dust particles in the air.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So they formed like a person thing. And I got out of bed when I was 4 and I followed it down the hallway to my parents' room, and it just kind of like nodded and like went in their room and then like disappeared. So I remember that. And I also was like, why didn't I get scared of it? Like, I followed it. So that was one thing I remember. I don't know. It didn't seem malicious or anything. And then I did see the apparition of my dead grandpa in my bedroom in the corner above my door, which is weird because he was like floating in the air. So I didn't really think much of those things, but as I got older, I felt like I was constantly being watched. So we had a basement and it was huge. We would play Nintendo down there. Every time I played Nintendo, I felt like I was being watched, and I would always look around myself behind me. I was terrified to go in the basement. I had a really bad feeling when I was down there, and then I would have reoccurring nightmares of the basement. And that a ghost was trying to get me in our storage room, which is right next to the TV where we played Nintendo. And I had that dream, I don't know, 100 times. So I just kind of made me wonder, like, why would I have a dream like that so many times? Unless I was just so terrified of the basement but that house didn't have as much stuff happen. Just a couple things like that, feeling watched, reoccurring nightmares of, I mean, I had nightmares when I was like six of trying to lock all the doors in the house because a murderer was trying to come in and kill my family. Like, what 6 year old has those kind of dreams, you know?
Yeah. Well, me, but,
you?
But,
not
but,
alone.
But I can't tell you why either. Cause I mean, in my case, I never had any, my parents never let me watch R-rated movies and stuff at that age. I had no personal trauma or experiences to, you know, refer that to or to reflect on and go, oh, this is why he's thinking those sort of things. So that never made sense for me either. But I would have those sort of feelings. And I had a reoccurring dream myself, too, where I was always being pulled into my basement, into the laundry room area for some reason. It was, you know, it was the unfinished room of the house. So I guess as a child, you can look at it and go, well, that's the spooky room. But I during daylight hours, I never really felt very scared of it. But it was just kind of one of those, I thought it was normal. I didn't realize how kind of odd it was until I was older. Tell me more about the house itself. And let's, before we get to that part, tell me about, you were having these experiences that the dust particle type entity led you to your parents' room. You're a small child. Did you tell your parents about these experiences at that time?
I tried to tell my mom, but she was very against paranormal. She did not believe at all. She mm-hmm. said it was nonsense. I was working myself up. So no, I felt kind of alone. So I just didn't mention it. And I did have my name called a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I would go out to the living room and be like, what? My mom would be like, I didn't call you. That happened a lot, like almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as obviously I write and I paranormal investigate, like I realize that's not normal.
Sure.
So, and it wasn't just my hearing, because I had my hearing checked when I was a kid. So, yeah, it wasn't a hugely active house, but I did have a couple other homes I lived in that were way crazy. But that kind of started my journey and to realizing that I kind of maybe attracted mm-hmm. the paranormal. And I didn't feel like I could talk about it at home. Like, my dad, I love him, we're really close, but he was not nice when I was a child. Not necessarily to me, but my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been part of the dreams, I don't know. But I didn't even try to talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, you know, was like, she was very, as you put it, old school.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't talk about things like that. That's what crazy people talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of that.
So would you find any place to share those sort of experiences, or did you just kind of keep them all inside?
I kind of kept them all inside. I did tell my brother. He was 2 years older than me. I think I told him about a couple things, and he's definitely a skeptic too. So he was like, it's fine. Just quit thinking about it and it'll go away. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're helpful. So no, not really. I was very confused as a kid. I forgot what it's called. I had numbers pop in my head that I didn't know why they did.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a name for it. That happened till I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I would know things sometimes that bad things were going to happen. But that's kind of skipping ahead. I don't know how much you want me to skip ahead.
Well, let's try and keep where we're at, and then we'll get to those points as we move there. As you are looking back on that first house, and I do want to talk about the other houses and go forward into that, but that first house you said wasn't super active. Do you think the house was active to other people, or do you think it was just active to you because of, at the time, your unknown empathic abilities? Were these things just really communicating with you directly, and only you, or if there had to been another empath there, been able to pick up on what was going on?
I think maybe if another empath had been there, they would. Mm-hmm. My family was very closed off on all that. So I think that if anything did happen, they either just brushed it off or ignored it.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I can't tell you if anything did, because none of them ever told me that anything had happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea. But I do feel like if an empath or psychic when there, they would feel something for sure. Because there was something there. I just couldn't decipher what. It didn't feel evil per se. Just maybe dark and confused, I think.
So you're having these experiences as a child. Your mom is kind of dismissing it. You can't really talk to your dad or really anybody else about it in much detail. How are you processing these things at that time? Are you feeling this is normal? This is just maybe other people have these experiences? Are you feeling kind of crazy? What how are you as a kid kind of grasping what's going on with you?
I felt kind of lost, honestly, because I didn't really feel like I had an outlet. So I actually started writing stories and stuff like that when I was about 7 about ghosts and stuff, which my mom didn't really like a lot, but it was kind of my outlet, I guess, to get it out on paper. So
did you at the time, obviously this is, I'm assuming, you know, we're talking pre ghost adventures and everything of that nature, but unsolved mysteries, things like that existed. Did you find any sort of comfort or interest in things of that nature? Were you able to see anything of that nature to kind of find little nuggets that were pre-internet that kind of made you go, oh, I'm not alone in having some of these experiences. These people are way out there in different places, but I'm not alone.
Not a lot. I did watch Unsolved Mysteries, and I did watch, oh my gosh, I can't think of it, the alien show. Do you know what I'm talking about? X-Files.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
I watched the X-Files, and that one, I guess, was more to me, meant more to me than Unsolved Mysteries because they had such weird cases sometimes. So I guess that was kind of my outlet. I really binged the X-Files because they didn't have ghost hunting stuff. Because when I was a kid, I was born in 84. So, you know, we didn't have the internet until I was like middle school.
Exactly. So. Yeah, we're around the same age. So I can understand where you were in childhood around those same times. Tell me more about how life progressed after that first house. How did childhood progress? How did getting into the teen years progress? And what you were discovering about yourself and the encounters that you would have.
Wow. I haven't talked about those years so far because I didn't know how much I wanted to kind of delve into them. I kind of had a rough teens and I was kind of a little butthole. I don't know if I could say butthole.
You can say anything on this show. We're not FM radio. We swear all the time. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to kind of put it out there. I've been trying to decide if I was going to write a memoir about it or not, but I don't know. So when I hit 12, my parents did get divorced. My dad was abusive. And on top of feeling lost and confused about the house, I started getting severely depressed. And then by the time I was 17, I started getting into drugs to self-medicate myself because I just didn't really know how else to deal with everything, I guess.
Sure.
When I was 15, though, to circle back just a tiny bit there, my boyfriend and I went to a movie and my mom was going to run errands while we were gone. And this is back to the empath stuff. So we were driving there. I had like this growing feeling of dread. And I was like, dude, I need to go home. You have to take me back home. And of course, he's a teenager. And it's like, are you just trying to ditch me? I'm like, no, I just need to go home. Something's wrong. So we went home and my grandma's car, we had this circular driveway. And her car was in the driveway, but she doesn't drive anymore because her eyes just aren't good.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.